Hello, everyone, and welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. We're glad you made time to join us today. We're talking about time management, which I think is something that most people struggle with. I'm your teacher, Ruth, and I've been thinking a lot about my own time management as we've been studying this article, and I hope today we're going to get some ideas of how to improve it, because sometimes you can feel like you have a problem, but you don't know what to do about it. Amanda, how's your time management?
It's getting better. I would say in the past it's been very poor, but I've realized that for me to be more effective and get tasks done better, or even to make my focus stay on task better, I need to work on my time management.
That's right, and I think that that's something that is very important and central to all of this. How are you today, Simon?
I'm feeling very efficient today. Thank you.
And why is that?
Because I've been working on my time management.
All right, so you're cognizant of what you need to do to make it better?
That's right. There's always room for improvement, but I feel like I am a pretty good time manager. More so at work than in my personal life.
Okay.
But nonetheless.
All right, and Campbell, has anything derailed you today or yesterday?
Not yet. But, you know, I think time management is very important for me. When you realize the value of time and how that's just the one thing you can never get back, then it just becomes that much more important to you to use every moment as to the best that you can.
That's right. And, you know, there's that time-honored phrase that's time is money. And I think that is really true. They're both commodities that we have a limited number or a limited amount of, and we need to use them well, or we get to the end of the day and we don't have any. So today we're going to be talking about some time management principles that might help us to use our time better. So if you haven't yet, please open your magazines to page 21, and we're going to begin reading about using time management principles.
Using time management principles. Before jumping into the specific choices, it's important to note that the book builds on the Franklin Covey principles of time management, specifically the idea of fitting activities into quadrants based on what's urgent, not urgent, important and not important. Quadrant 2, the home of activities that are important but not urgent, is seen as the place of extraordinary productivity. Kogan says, it's in this quadrant that you can focus on doing proactive work, achieving high-impact goals, creative thinking, planning, relationship building, and learning.
All right, that's a long sentence there to begin with. So before we start talking about specific choices, meaning I choose to spend time reading a book rather than watching TV or talking to my husband or wife rather than playing video games, we're going to talk about some principles of time management. And Franklin Covey has come up with this idea of principles of time management that fit into quadrants. Can you tell us a little bit about quadrants, Campbell?
Well, a quadrant is kind of a quarter of a circle, or it's an area of something. And the quadrants we're specifically talking about here are connected with time and time management. So it talks about the quadrants based on what's urgent, what's not urgent, what's important, and what's not important.
All right. And when I first read this article, I was thinking those four words are the four quadrants, important or urgent, not urgent, important, not important. But actually, that's not true. They're kind of a combination of the two. So the first quadrant are things that are urgent and important. The second quadrant is things that are not urgent but are important. The third quadrant is things that are urgent and not important. And the fourth quadrant are things that are not urgent and not important. So if you can kind of think about that. First of all, what exactly does urgent mean? What are some urgent things?
Well, urgent means something is needed quickly. or there's a lot of pressure to deliver it quickly. And so we think of things like medical emergencies as urgent,
right.
Like
mm-hmm.
having a heart attack, right? Mm-hmm. It's urgent that something be done about it. But you mentioned that things were urgent and important. And so important means not just there's pressure to get it done quickly, but that it's necessary to get it done. So something like a heart attack would be urgent and important. Something like a person who thinks they might be sick and they're really worried about that, but they're probably not too sick, that would be urgent but not so important.
That's right. So let's think of some other things that would be urgent and important. Maybe you have a small baby at home mm-hmm. and the baby is crying. All right, it's urgent and important that you go and find out why that child is crying.
Right. I think of anything that has to do with a deadline that needs to happen tomorrow mm-hmm. or even, you know, in the next hour. That is urgent.
Right.
For example, you know, we work with Advanced Studio Classroom and maybe we have a deadline to meet. An article has to be finished by a certain time. That's urgent and it's important because one, there is a deadline, and two, it's important to get the magazine out because so many people like to read it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what about some things that are urgent but not important?
Well, this is where things get tricky because most things are important to a certain extent.
Aha.
Which means you have things that are sort of competing to be the most important. Mm-hmm. For example, you might find it is urgent and important to get to the airport on time for your flight unless you know there's another flight later, right? Mm-hmm. And then it becomes less urgent and less important to get there. Or maybe you don't want to go on that flight, right? And so there's all kinds of different factors that affect how important something is.
Another example might be that text message, ding.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear that, and it's urgent because it just rang, but you're not sure whether that text is really important or not, whether it's just, hey, Campbell, how you doing? Mm-hmm. Or whether it's, Ruth, I really need you to get this done right away.
Mm-hmm.
So in a sense, you don't know if it's important until you actually read it, but then your focus has been taken away. Well, then another quadrant is something that's not urgent, but is important.
Right. For example, you mentioned Advanced Magazine. Perhaps it's not urgent, but we need to organize what articles we're going uh-huh. to do for the month. Perhaps the deadline is far, far away, but we are getting prepared. We're doing preparation for uh-huh. that. So that's important, but it's not urgent.
Right. Or even exercising, taking care of your health. You know, that's important, but, you know, you're not going to die if you don't go running today. But mm-hmm. it is something that you should do. You know.
Exactly. So these are the things I think that we tend to put off because they aren't urgent. And we think, oh, I can do it later. I can do it, you know, next week, or I can do it tonight. So that's what we're going to talk about as quadrant two, the not urgent, but yet very important. Well, now what about the fourth quadrant, which is not urgent and not important? I think we all know a few things that could fit in that. Can you give us one example?
I would say, you know, the sad thing is I would say that most of us spend most of our time in this area. Things like Facebook. Not important, not urgent, but it's fun. So mm-hmm. we spend a lot of time doing it.
Or playing computer games.
Mm-hmm.
Like Candy Crush or whatever's the most popular one right now.
Or getting on Pinterest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That is something, you know, it's like the internet magazine, and it also, it's not urgent, it's not important, but it does waste your time.
Can you think of any activities in that quadrant, Simon?
I'm struggling here to think of one. But, you know, part of the reason, the first thing that sort of came to my mind was like checking the news. But the problem with that, again, is that sometimes that is important. Like you mentioned mm-hmm. how you might get a message and you're not sure if it's important or not, right? And so I think probably different jobs and different things move between these different quadrants over time. So if I've got something really important to do, some other task might be not urgent and not important. But when mm-hmm. I finished my work, it might move up a lot in the importance of that little task, right?
That's true. So I think we can say that all of these tasks are not necessarily staying in one quadrant, they might be moving from one to another. So let's review just quickly what the four quadrants are, because we'll continue to talk about that. The first one is urgent and important. The second one is not urgent but important. The third one is urgent but not important. And the fourth one is not urgent and not important. So we go on to talk about quadrant two, and this is the home of activities that are important but not urgent, and this is where we can see extraordinary productivity. Mm-hmm. Why is that, Simon?
Well, they go on to explain it here. Kogan says it's in this quadrant you can focus on doing proactive work. And when you're being proactive, it means you're, I guess, working ahead of the urgency. Mm-hmm. So you're working on planning and figuring out good solutions and how you really want to deal with it before mm-hmm. you need to have those solutions. Right. So you're not reacting to a deadline. You're not reacting to, you know, panicked people around you. You have time to sort of sit down and think about how you want to do it.
Yes.
Right. Those, I think, are the two key words, proactive and reactive. Mm-hmm. When you're reactive, something has already happened, and you're having to do something based on that activity.
Right.
Proactive means you're the one who's coming up with the thing that other people are going to react to.
Right.
For example, you know, again, with Advanced Studio Classroom, taking the time to sit down and write, okay, we want to have one business article each month, so I'm going to sit down and think of a topic for each one of those.
Mm-hmm.
No one has said it has to be done, but I know if I do that, it will help my productivity later on.
Right, being able to plan ahead, you know. And the thing with this quadrant is that if we don't take care of the things that are important but not urgent, very quickly they can move into quadrant one, which is important and urgent. For example, your health, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't take care of your health, right now you're not feeling sick, but you don't exercise, you know, it's not urgent, but it's important. But if you don't take care of it, eventually you're going to get to a point where your health is very urgent and very important.
Because you're experiencing health problems
right.
because you haven't taken
exactly.
care of it.
Exactly.
So you can do a lot of proactive work then in quadrant two, and you can achieve high impact goals, ones that really affect your life in a big way. And it's time there that you can do your creative thinking and your planning and your relationship building and your learning. So where should you be spending most of your time ideally?
In quadrant two.
Mm-hmm.
We already said where we think we tend to spend most of our time.
Quadrant four.
Yes. That is why we need to manage our time better.
Exactly. So again, Kogan is talking about, unlike the other quadrants where things come at you, in other words, you're reacting to things, in quadrant two, you're consciously choosing what you want to do and how you want to organize yourself. So how do you get to quadrant two? What kinds of things can you do? Let's continue reading in line 16.
Unlike the other quadrants, where things come at you, you have to consciously choose to be in quadrant two, she notes. But to get there, you must learn to rewire your brain, which has become accustomed to responding to the urgent and feeling that dopamine high. Kogan says that the latest brain science shows that individuals can overcome urgency addiction by taking time to pause and consider what's actually important. The strategy, which the authors call Pause, Clarify, Decide, underscores the difference between the reactive brain and the thinking brain. When you can pause long enough to ask yourself if something is important, you can clarify and decide what will give you the best return on every moment of your day. To ensure that decisions are not driven by the urgent, the authors break down the five choices that individuals have on a daily basis.
All right, we already said that quadrant two, this quadrant where you have not urgent but important, is where you consciously can choose what you want to do. But in order to get there, you kind of have to rewire your brain, right, Amanda?
Right. And learning to rewire your brain is another way to say you need to reprogram it or change the way you think.
Exactly. Because we become accustomed to responding to the urgent and feeling that dopamine high. And dopamine is just a chemical that's in your brain that affects your control and your emotions. Mm-hmm. We like to feel that high of, oh, I got something and I got it done, but right. It wasn't important.
Right. Well, I mean, it's the idea. I think that's why so many people say, oh, I work best under pressure, you know, mm-hmm. because it's that idea of, oh, I have to get this done. You know, when there's not that deadline looming over your head, mm-hmm. it's easy to be like, oh, I'll do it tomorrow or mm-hmm. I'll do it later. It's not that important. But then, you know, once that deadline, you know, is approaching, you're like, oh, I better get it done. And then you're like, you finish something in an hour mm-hmm. that, you know, you've been dragging on for a week.
Mm-hmm. And that actually gives you more dopamine because it's like, oh, I finally got it done.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the article kind of calls this urgency addiction. Do you think that's a problem for a lot of people, Simon?
I do. And you were just mentioning off the air a famous experiment by a Russian. Sometimes we refer to Pavlov's dog, a famous Russian psychologist named Pavlov. He trained dogs to respond when he rang a bell by feeding them. And that's what our phones beeping are a lot like, I think. Mm-hmm. And so when people hear their phone beep, they have this desperate desire to check it. And I think that this term, urgency addiction, is a good description of that. And I think that's true not just with our phones, but in other parts of our lives too.
I think you're absolutely right. Listeners, what do you think about that? How do you feel when you hear your phone beep? Do you immediately want to drop everything and check it? If you do, maybe you do have urgency addiction.
Right.
Well, you can see that. I mean, people have started talking about like phantom phone ringing or phantom phone beeps. Do you know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Phantom, of course, means ghost. So you feel like your phone is vibrating, but it isn't. And you sort of grab to check it, right? You feel like a twitch on your leg and you think your phone is, and you grab it to check and there's nothing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that just shows that we're geared. We've got ourselves all the time set to answer the phone and just jump as soon as something comes in.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like a feedback loop. Is the more that we get excited and interested in our phones and we get positive feedback from that, the more we're going to want to check it, which means the more positive feedback we get. And we kind of get stuck in this cycle. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's why they say that technology can derail your work or your life, because then you're so focused on that technology and answer and technology and answer, and you lose track of what really is important.
Yeah. And actually, I mean, this is actually even a marketing strategy that a lot of advertising companies will use, right? You have to act now, you know, only 2 days, 3 days, you know, buy now or, you know, forever hold your peace.
It's last chance.
Right, exactly.
So urgency addiction, that urge to do something right away because it's calling you, so to speak. Mm. And you have to overcome that by taking time to pause and consider what's actually important. And do we do that when the phone beeps or rings or does whatever it does? Do we stop and think, okay, should I answer that now or not? Mm-hmm. We just immediately go and do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's important to take the time to think. And the authors even have a name for this strategy.
That's right. They call it pause, clarify, decide. Pause, of course, means wait, stop for a second. Clarify means think clearly about or make sure you understand. And then decide is, of course, deciding if you're going to do something about it. So what they're suggesting people do here is when they get something like their phone ringing or an email pops up or something that makes them want to respond, instead of just jumping on it and responding right away, they need to pause, think about how important answering that is compared to the things they're already doing, and then decide if they're going to answer it or not, or maybe decide where it should go in the order of important things they are going to do.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And they mentioned that this is the difference between the reactive brain and the thinking brain. Mm. We already talked about this word reactive, meaning that something has already happened that we are just doing something about. So if you can pause long enough to ask yourself if something is important, then you can think about it and decide whether you want to respond to it now or wait. So this is a good principle to try to use. Pause, clarify, decide. And it doesn't have to take a long time. This can actually be a split-second reaction. It's just the fact that you're taking time to say, wait a minute, I need to consider if this is really important to me or not. So to ensure that the decisions we make are not driven by the urgent, the authors of this book have thought about five choices that people can make on a daily basis. So we're going to look at the first one of those choices now.
Tips on how to let importance guide your workflow, not urgency. Choice 1. Act on the important. Don't react to the urgent. Once you understand the quadrants and the time matrix, you have the framework to ask yourself whether something is important. At first, it takes time to stop the reactive brain, but then it becomes second nature. The goal is to increase your ROM, return on the moment, in the midst of daily distractions.
All right, listeners, I think all of us want to be doing important things rather than urgent things. We want to have our lives have meaning and have purpose by accomplishing something that's important to us. So we're going to look at tips on how to let importance guide our workflow and not urgency. So what is the first choice that we have to make, Campbell?
Well, it says choice 1, act on the important, don't react to the urgent. So the idea is, again, pausing and then clarifying, deciding whether this thing is important and how you're going to react to it or how you're going to respond.
Yes. So once you understand the quadrants, and I think we've talked a lot about those, so hopefully, listeners, you can picture in your mind what those quadrants look like and the time matrix. So it's the idea of how all of these things fit together. If you can know the quadrants and know the matrix, you have the framework to begin to ask yourself this question. What's a framework, Simon?
Well, a framework is basically a structure for understanding something or dealing with it. Actually, it's the term matrix we have before framework here. They're actually usually very similar in that they're basically parts of a system that help you understand or decide what you want to do. And when they talk about a time matrix, usually it's kind of the conditions that allow you to decide how you're going to break up your time or how you're going to use time. And then the framework you have is when you mix that matrix with the quadrants. So basically you understand how much time you have and you understand which things are most important. And so when you understand those two things, you have a system that lets you decide which things you're going to do with the time you have.
Exactly. And you need to understand both those things to do that. You need to ask yourself whether something is important, and that way you can stop the reactive brain. Now, is this an easy thing to do?
No, because we mentioned earlier that there's that dopamine high that comes with reacting to something in an urgent fashion. Or stopping that reactive brain. Mm-hmm. So you need to overcome feeling that dopamine high as well. Mm-hmm. So, no, I don't think it's easy to stop the reactive brain.
And we mentioned at the beginning of yesterday's program the idea of being on autopilot. It's something like you do it without thinking about it. And here we have another phrase that means almost the same thing. It becomes second nature. You're so used to doing it that you really don't consciously do it. It's just natural. You're on autopilot.
That's right. So eventually, in the beginning, it's going to feel a little awkward. You're not going to be used to stopping and not being so reactive. But eventually, you're just going to get used to it. It's going to become another habit for you.
Mm-hmm. And then we mentioned yet another principle, your ROM, or return on the moment, which would mean that the profit or what you get from that momentary decision.
Right.
Yeah. And this is, of course, the problem. Sometimes when we're in that first quadrant where things are urgent and important, you get kind of overwhelmed because they are important and they are urgent. And I guess that's sort of the you get that rush from fixing those problems, but at the same time, the advantage of getting into quadrant two is that you will have less and less things in that first quadrant because you'll be getting them done before they become urgent.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
So we, in order to kind of move ourselves from quadrant one into quadrant two or getting out of some of the other quadrants, we do need to think, do this, pause, clarify, react or pause, clarify, decide idea. Mm-hmm. And then also you're looking at the return on the moment. In other words, that split second decision you make. And you have to do that in the midst of all the daily distractions.
Right. I actually really like this term, return on the moment. It's kind of, if you're into business, you know the idea of ROI, return on investment. So mm-hmm. you're putting your money in, how much are you getting back? So here we're talking about putting your time in, how much are you getting back for that time? So it goes back to what I was talking about yesterday, watching a movie. Mm-hmm. You know, you put in that time, what do you get back from it? Not very much. So your return on the moment, ROM, is going to be very low for that.
Exactly. Or the time you spend surfing the internet, reading the news. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you can look at your watch and an hour and a half has gone by. And what is the return on that time?
Mm-hmm. I think that's really good. Like having that goal in the midst of needing to deal with these urgent things that come at you can really help you overcome wanting that dopamine high. Like return on the moment is like the reward that mm-hmm. you get from overcoming the feeling of the dopamine high.
Exactly. So I think, listeners, if we want to summarize what we've talked about today, we can think about proactive versus reactive. Mm-hmm. And we want to be more proactive. We want to be the one who does the things that other people react to, not always be feeling like we have to do something because someone else has done something first. So we hope that you've learned a few things about time management. Think about how your time fits into that quadrant we mentioned or that matrix we mentioned. And tomorrow we're going to continue on talking about some of these other choices that we make, and hopefully they will help you to make time for what matters. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye. Bye.